Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. We bring you these news reports from around the state. From this first one on our list today is coming from Prairie Creek Community School down in Northfield, Minnesota. There are schools across the state that report their phenology to us. And you can gauge your phenology events based on theirs. You know, some of you live in the cities. You're going to be a few days behind Northfield. If you live in Little Falls, you're going to be 4 or 5 days behind Northfield. If you live in Brainerd, you're probably going to be 10 or 12 days behind. And up here in Grand Rapids, we're about 2 weeks to maybe 20 days behind Prairie Creek Community School. But I have gone out and built up this network with the help of KAXC and Charlie Mitchell, and we have got these kids reporting each week, and I think that it's a wonderful part of what we do here at KAXC and well worth your support. Give us a call or send us a pledge online and let us know that you approve and that you like these student reports. Right now, Prairie Creek.
Hi, this is Wyatt.
And this is Ruby.
And we're from Prairie Creek Community School.
Way down south in Northfield, Minnesota.
Well, the spring is starting to spring. Finally.
It feels late, but according to our records, it's about average.
On March 22nd, we saw our first kestrels and a crow with nesting material.
On March 27th, Caroline saw a butterfly. That is pretty early, especially since it snowed the next day.
On March 29th, we spotted the first heron, and there's been a lot since then.
On April 2nd, we saw a killed deer, and we noticed that our elm tree was wild. On April 3rd, we saw the first bluebird, chipmunk, and our first wing.
This weekend, we noticed forsythia was flowering.
And gooseberries and honeysuckle are leafing out.
The crabapple tree we watch has a bud break. The squill has started to come up, and the golf course is starting to get green.
And the robins are starting to nest. We may have seen a second piebald robin. Oscar reports seeing both of them at the same time. We are wondering if the piebald populations can develop by passing the genes.
Otherwise, we had a 1 in 9 million chance of seeing that.
Other birds, egrets, cranes, pileated woodpecker, hawks, juncos, turkeys.
Cardinals, red-winged blackbirds, eagles, vultures, and starlings.
Whew! That has been Prairie Creek.
One more step along the phenology journey.
Wyatt, Ruby, thanks for that great report. My goodness, it just amazes me the things that those kids are observing. And our thanks to Michelle Martin, their teacher, because she definitely has a knack for keeping them on task down there. Their observations are about average. On the 22nd, kestrels, crows with nesting material. On April 2nd, we heard and saw killdeer, elm tree flowering. My elm died, so I can't give you elm dates up here anymore. Killdeer, first bluebirds, chipmunks, first worms, forsythia blooming. I looked at my forsythia yesterday, and it is not anywhere close to blooming. But that's an excellent plant to watch just to see how many days. So their forsythia was flowering over the weekend. That would be the 4th or 5th. And so I'm looking probably at, we'll see. I'll let you know when mine blooms, and we'll compare. Gooseberries and honeysuckles are leafing out. I'm not at all surprised. Robins are beginning to nest. They are just singing up here. They are not anywhere near nesting yet. But all of that from our kids down in Prairie Creek. This report comes from Chad Caddett's middle school class at Little Falls. And funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. And our phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell.
This is Madeline and Emily reporting from Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of April 6th.
There have been huge flocks of juncos, as it appears that migrating groups have joined the birds that spent the winter here.
Fox sparrows, American tree sparrows, and swamp sparrows were sighted.
We have seen the return of wood ducks and usso-hooded mergansers, along with loons showing up on open water.
The flowers of the maple trees are red and give a tree a fuzzy appearance.
We did see our first great blue heron of the year and are seeing sandhill cranes often paired up out in fields.
Turkey vultures and gulls are spotted overhead after school and around the Mississippi River.
We did see our first morning cloak butterfly feeding on sap on the side of the tree.
Speaking of sap, we were able to sample a couple of varieties of maple syrups that different families had made, including Jocelyn's box elder syrup, which had a unique nutty aftertaste.
There have been a few reports of northern flickers feeding on the ground in people's yards. They're easy to recognize by the yellow flash of their wings as they fly.
There's a small cloud of insects, possibly midges, spotted on Sunday.
A classmate was lucky enough to spot a woodcock in a small, clear spot of ground in her yard after the snowstorm.
There's a hawk with white undersides and wings that we later identified as a northern harrier.
There was a pair of mourning doves sitting together under a bird feeder.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thank you, Madeline. Emily, that was a very nice report. You guys are blessed to have Mr. Kaditz as your teacher, and he is also very, very engaged in phenology and keeps you guys on your toes. Fox sparrows, tree sparrows, and swamp sparrows, wood ducks, hooded mergansers. I saw a couple of hooded mergansers on my lake yesterday. Maple syrup. Trees. The maple trees are red and the trees have a fuzzy appearance, so their flowers are out. Our flowers typically here this time of year, let's see, red maples, the 19th of April would be about the average first date of flowering. The silver maples are flowering right now in my yard. So beyond that, great blue herons, morning cloak butterfly, and that was pretty exciting for me. I can't wait to see my first butterfly, and I'm hoping it'll be later this week. I love this note about the sap, a couple of unique varieties, different families of maple, Jocelyn's box elder syrup, and they described it as unique and nutty aftertaste. I haven't tried, but I will certainly explore. That sounds really great. There are a number of other notes there as well. Always nice to hear from that group at Little Falls. They do such a nice job. Mr. Kaditz is a very, very effective teacher for that group, and they get a chance to get out and check out a lot of animals and plants with their classes, and that's quite, quite nice.
We are going to bring you one more student phenology report. Is that okay, John?
Yes,
before
that's
we get
okay
to full phenology. But we're looking for your pledge this morning. That's all it is. You can pay monthly. You can pay at one time. Do what you can afford to give. We're hearing from folks that this could be a tough time right now, depending on your job and what's happening in the world. Do what you can this morning. It's people-powered radio in northern Minnesota, bringing you classrooms from all across the state, including our next one, who the teacher just became a member.
Yeah, well,
by texting the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Nate Masakovich and his class of fourth graders at Baxter Elementary School. Nate has a really nice class, outdoor classroom, and Nate is very, very efficient. He actually has identified both the female and the male aspens in his forest. And that time is coming. You're looking at me like, you can do that? There are females and males? There are. And in the aspen family, in the willow group, they are dioecious, which means two houses. And so there is a tree that has the female flowers and another tree that has the male flowers. And in the case of the aspens, very soon, the male flowers are going to be quite distended. And once they do that, they will disperse their pollen. And at that point, the female flower will be almost indistinguishable from the rest of the tree. It's pretty hard to see when it is open and ready to receive pollen. But as soon as it does, it's going to become a long distended catkin as well. The difference is the male flowers are going to all fall off the trees. As soon as they're done throwing pollen, they're going to drop off the trees. And that's when you know, oh, that's a male. So if you see an aspen holding on to its flowers, it's a female. This group, Mr. Masakovich's class, includes reporters Dewey, Presley, and Katie. And Dewey is my grandnephew.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, his dad is my nephew.
There we go.
So I can't wait to hear.
Hello from Mr. Masakovich's class at Baxter Elementary School. This is the phenology report for April 7th. Our names are Dewey,
Presley,
and Kaylee.
And we are your phenologists for this week.
We had about 3 inches of wet, heavy snowfall on Wednesday, April 2nd. We collected and melted it. We started with 3 inches of snow and melted down to 1 inch of water for a 1-to-3 ratio. We are happy to get spring weather back. Ice is out on one of our teacher's lakes on 329th.
Our small-tooth male aspen trees are really growing their catkins. Some have started to drop.
Some of our beaked hazel are breaking bud. Their little red flowers are noticeable once you see one.
We enjoyed crushing and smelling bergamot. I thought it smelled like Fruit Loop cereal.
Mr. Masakovich's cat Hugo has already caught 3 moles this spring. Our porcupine is really stripping trees in our forest. Every time we go out, we see another tree stripped.
We are finding lots more ticks. Both deer and wood ticks. We've not seen any of the spring butterflies yet, but hope to with the warm weather coming this week.
On 327, we had our first grackle sighting, a ruby-crowned kinlet, yellow-rumped warbler. On 328, our first blue heron was spotted. And on 329, we heard and saw our first ruffed grouse and the first loon.
In our school forest, we saw a pair of hairy woodpeckers and were able to watch them for several minutes.
We also found an owl pellet, which we'll dissect later. Thomas thinks he saw a golden eagle. Is this possible, Mr. Latimer?
This concludes the phenology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Hey, great report. Thank you, guys. Lots of good things in there. The male aspens down there are starting to drop their catkins, which is pretty amazing. It seems really early, and the hazel have their little red flowers. So if they're blooming in Baxter, they've got to be blooming up here within the next, 3 or 4 days. I would think by the weekend for sure, we will see the little red flowers on the hazels. Mr. Masakovich's cat Hugo has caught 3 moles. Those are the star-nosed moles. That's a disaster for the mole family, but that's how cats are. They just, they'll see something moving and they'll decide, I'll kill that and see if it's edible. And in the case of the moles and the shrews, not so much. I've seen dogs and cats kill both and pretty much leave them. Deer ticks and wood ticks moving about. I was out all day yesterday in the woods and fortunately didn't pick up a tick. So I guess they're not quite out yet because I live in an area where there are a great many. Thomas thinks he saw a golden eagle. Well, Thomas, it is possible. There are a few golden eagles that come through this area. Most of them kind of squeak around the end of Lake Superior and head up the North Shore, so they get a few in that count. Typically, what you see and what you think is maybe a golden eagle is an immature bald eagle because they look a lot alike. The immature bald eagle is mostly brown, and the mature golden eagle is mostly brown, and it really takes an experienced eye to separate the two. And I don't discount the fact it can happen. They are coming through this area. This would be the time of year that you would expect to see them. But for every 999 that you see and think are golden eagles, probably they are all bald eagles, immature bald eagles, and one of 1,000 might be a golden eagle. Now, that number might be 1 in 100, but it is certainly not very often that you see golden eagles. I think that I saw a golden eagle in northern Minnesota once in all the years that I've been looking, but it is possible.
You know, John, I love that you gave us a little hope that we could see them. You didn't just say, no way, there's no golden eagles here.
No,
like, there's hope out there, right?
There are. I mean, you know, I'm not there. You know, if Thomas and I were standing there together and we saw this bird and got our binoculars on it and saw some marks, we might both agree, yeah, that is a golden eagle.
There we go. Got some great people coming up, some little people bringing us phenology reports.
Yeah.
And joining the conversation, if you take a look at that monitor there.
The person who makes all of this possible.
Yes.
Who sorts it all out and makes sense out of it is our good friend, Charlie. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you along. It's oftentimes you are in the shadows. Behind the scenes. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yep. But talk about finding your people. I think I found my people.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Boy, that was a lucky day we interviewed Charlie for this position, huh?
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah.
Man, I'm glad I didn't know you guys when I did that, because I would have been so starstruck.
I thought you'd have, just turned and run. Like, why would I want to hang out with those people?
Hey, we need a gong interrupting this message here. Long time members from KAXE increasing their sustaining membership. Programming is enough of a thank you gift. Phenology is the highlight of his week, and he is Bill and Mary Schnell. Long time members. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you both. Yeah.
12 folks coming forward, 12 different families and people coming forward this morning. We're keeping it going because it's people powered radio in northern Minnesota, no corporate or government telling us what we should broadcast. And that's why we are choosing here to broadcast the voices of kids around our region.
Yeah.
We're so lucky to do this. What, Charlie, is there any way to put words to what it feels like when you open up an audio report from students?
Oh, man. I mean, no, there is no way to put it into words. I think the voices are so adorable, so enthusiastic. And, you know, obviously children, but then they come out with these fascinating, detailed observations of what they're seeing. I wish I knew half as much when I was growing up as these kids do. And it's all, you know, thanks to these amazing teachers we work with and to John. You know, we didn't have a program like this at my school when I was growing up. And man, it would have gotten me a head start when I joined KAXE. I had a steep learning curve.
You know, when
a steep learning curve.
When I think about it, it's kind of interesting because I didn't have this in school either, but my father was a forester. And he hung out with some pretty interesting dudes. And one of them was a guy named Sid Rommel. And Sid was a state forester as well. But Sid knew all kinds of things. He could identify practically every grass and sedge we came across. And just walking with him and my dad and hearing Sid talk about these things, it struck a spark in me for sure.
I have heard that name before.
Oh, yeah.
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 Hey, we need you to make a gong over there. We had another pledge.
I'm going to have to switch arms here.
To KAXE.org. Big thank you going out to a pledge coming in online. Our friend Andy Ahrens from Nashwauk, thank you so much for pledging your support. Do one more there. Yep. Andy says, when we asked what energized him, JB. John Latimer and phenology energizes me. All things conservation related. Thank you so much, Andy. Good to hear from you this morning.
Andy's Soil and Water. He's active in the plant sale. And every time I look at around my yard, I see evidence of the good work that Andy has done and is doing. And I'm appreciative, Andy. Thank you so much for, you know, putting that together and getting it out there so that we can all enjoy.
So we also heard from, the second gong was from Big Fork, Lynn and Jack Nackbar.
Ah, yeah.
They are doing their membership. They love all the morning shows, but Tuesdays are their favorite. And when they stop by for their renewal, they're going to pick up their thank you gift then.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Lynn. So I hope the movie went well last night. Jack's a retired film and pop culture professor that puts on movies in Big Fork. And last night they showed The In-Laws. Peter Falk and Alan Arkin.
Oh my.
Did you ever see that one?
If I have, it's been, you know, when it was new.
I shouldn't have asked. I'm so sorry.
You know, I'm regretful that I don't live closer to Big Fork, because it's a bit of a treacherous drive, and so I tend not to volunteer to go up there, but I wish I could, because those movies are just adorable. They're the work that he does, and then talking about them, and you learn so much.
You do. We're going to get back to our student phonology reports. Keep those memberships, keep those calls coming, 218-326-1234.
Do you have a list in front of you? We're on number 4. Charlie?
Oh, I can get the list in front of me pretty darn quick. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Our next report comes from Lee Jackson and Darcy Rolfe's class at the North Shore Community School near Duluth.
Hello from North Shore Community School on the North Shore of Lake Superior. This is the phonology report for the week of March 29, 2025. My name is Madeline, and I am your phonologist for this week. Starting on Friday, March 28th, through Sunday, March 30th, we had a weather combination that included thunderstorms, ice, hail, snow, and sunshine. On Wednesday, April 2nd, we, along with all neighboring schools, had a snow day due to a spring snowstorm that had snow accumulations of anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of snow in our area. The heavy, wet snow was perfect for building snowmen and snow forts. On Thursday, April 3rd, and Friday, April 4th, due to warm weather, the snow started to melt, causing a muddy mess everywhere. On Tuesday, April 1st, red-winged blackbirds were heard and seen in French River. During EE class on Thursday, April 3rd, Mrs. Rolfe's class was out for a snowshoe walk when they came upon a fresh deer bed in the new snow. Due to the colder temperatures over the weekend, we found on Monday, March 31st, that we had not collected any sap from our two red maples since our last collection on Friday, March 28th. Our school has been collecting sap for about 2 weeks, so on March 31st, Miss Urban had our first sap boil out by Shelter 2 on the Nature Trail. We had collected a total of 15 gallons of sap, and after boiling, we had half a gallon of maple syrup. That's about a 30-to-1 ratio of sap to syrup, not bad. We will continue to collect sap and have one more sap boil before the season ends. This concludes the phonology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Madeline. Nice report. Good summation of their sap collection and their 30-to-1 ratio, which is pretty respectable. Red-winged blackbirds along the French River, snowshoe walk, came upon a fresh deer bed. Snow, they got hit. I had 5.5 inches of snow in that storm. They got 6 to 12, and they really, really, well, it was the kind of snow that was very adaptive for children. I mean, I can imagine being a kid and, you know, making snowmen, snowballs, snow forts, just having a ball with that kind of snow. And I hope they did, because, you know, it's Minnesota and snow in April is sometimes what you get.
We just got a little dusting down here and a lot of rain, but it's helped. The river is up another, the St. Croix River is up another foot, maybe two, which allows me to canoe in more places. So that's fun.
Yeah. Well, my lake, where my dock ends, It's about 75 to 100 feet of black muck out to where the water is now. So I haven't seen it. Generally, I have beaver in the lake, and they dam it up a little bit, but there's no active beaver house there now. Not enough popple around the lake to feed a family of beavers, so they're moved on. And I expect that once the aspens regen a little bit, they'll be back. We have another report this morning coming from Lindsay Engel's class at North Star Elementary School in Virginia.
This is Brayson,
Cooper,
Sam,
Bryn,
Kira,
and Maddie
with a report from North Star Elementary on April 4th, 2025. This is Brayson. When I was at my dad's land, north of Virginia, we saw a great gray owl on a branch on the side of the road. I got to watch it for about 5 minutes before it flew into the woods.
This is Cooper. On Wednesday, we got about 7.5 inches of snow in Britt. The snow is hanging around and is very slushy. It's perfect for making snowballs, but don't throw them at school.
This is Sam. I observed that the snow that fell on the paved bike trail has already melted, but it's still piled up on the shady areas. The asphalt absorbs a lot of heat from the sun, so the snow didn't last long there.
This is Brent. I saw a snowshoe hare at my house. It was turning from its winter white to its springtime brown coat. It was cool to see it in between phases.
This is Kira. I saw a bear in the street in front of my house. My dad yelled, "Go bear, go," and it ran away.
This is Maddie. Yesterday, I saw a crow bringing nesting materials to its partner. This has been a report from North Star Elementary in Virginia.
Keep exploring the great outdoors.
Thank you, kids. What a nice report. Thank you, Lindsay. That was the kids are really getting into it, I can tell. It's perfect for making snowballs, but don't throw them at school. Now, I know how that is. It's really, really hard not to, but probably a good plan, because I know how my brother and I used to get into snowball fights, and they deteriorated into into fist fights many, many times. Yeah.
Depending on the ice content of the snowball.
Yeah.
And whether you put rocks in the middle.
Well,
you know,
there was that. Yeah, there were a lot of, we both knew all the tricks. He was a year younger than me, and we absolutely knew how to torment one another. We were good at it. I miss him. Yeah. But crows still bringing around nesting materials. It's getting close to time for them to make a nest. And it won't be long. I think the ravens are on a nest. I love the bear in the street. Go, bear, go. And it ran away. Nice. Bears are pretty shy that way. They don't hang around if you kind of bring attention to them. So glad you were able to see it and not have to dance with it.
I mean, go bear go sounds a bit like encouragement to me.
I know. I didn't take it as a bad thing. It was like, yay, bear. Yeah. Hey, John, you want to do some work over there? Get a workout on your biceps. We're looking for your pledge of support. People-powered radio in northern Minnesota. This is the spring membership drive, and we just got a text in from our good friend Simon. Simon says his membership isn't up, but he's going to be by with some additional cash later this morning to help things along. KEXE and all things phonology are true gifts. Also, a big thanks to the KEXE newsroom for the very important work that the newsroom does. The newsroom is a massive step forward. We could not agree more, Simon.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Thank you for that. We sure appreciate it. We'd also like to thank our business supporters like North Homes Children and Family Services. Find more at northhomes.org. Thanks also goes out to the Blandin Foundation and the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation. Don't forget that you are listening to 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, people-powered radio in northern Minnesota with translator K210DR in Brainerd 89.9. Thank you for supporting us and keep the memberships coming. 218-326-1234. You can text that number or give us a call now.
We have a final report from Emma Adams' class at Great Expectations School in Grand Marais. You know, I was kind of thinking, gee, we haven't heard from Grand Marais in a while, and I really enjoy the reports from up there. You can get further to the northeast than Grand Marais, but there aren't a lot of people up that far, and Grand Marais is sort of the last outpost of concentrated civilization in Minnesota. And if we could have a report from Worthington and one from Grand Marais, we would have the state covered shore to shore, I guess.
Well, John, I have good news for you.
Oh,
I got an email from their teacher, and they've been recording reports all through March, but they just forgot to email them.
Ah.
So we have one this week, and then we'll have two next week.
Wonderful. Wonderful news. Yeah. Well, that's great. So from the Emma Adams class in Grand Marais, Great Expectations School.
Who is this?
The Bear Cubs.
Okay, Bear Cubs. We went on an outdoor adventure today, right? We saw some pretty cool things?
Yeah.
What did we see a bunch of today?
Poop. Deer scat.
Deer scat. How many piles of deer scat did we see?
30.
30.
What I found is fox foot, and it had a little skin left on it, and it was laying on the ground, and I think it might be like a wolf or other animal attacked it.
Mm. Anyone else want to say anything about the fur we saw?
We don't know what kind it is, but our best guess is like a wolf or a fox.
Or like a pine. Or like my dad's wolf he saw with a deer. Again.
Or okay. Maybe a rabbit.
Yeah, what color is the fur that we saw?
White.
Could it be a deer? Do deer have white fur?
No. Yeah.
They're called white-tailed deer, so they've got white on their tails.
Oh, and on their tummy.
What kind of plants did we see?
Moss.
Yeah, we saw lichen.
Moss and lichen.
What were those things that we saw?
Buds.
We saw buds.
I saw with sharp tips. Different buds on one.
Yeah, some of the buds had sharp tips and some of them didn't.
Catkins.
What comes out of catkins eventually?
Pollen.
Yeah.
What is going to come out of our buds?
Leaves.
I don't know if you have mentioned this, but I found some lichen.
I found an institutional, two institutional. It connected, and I do not know if something's whiffling in it or not.
So we don't know what's in the hole?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I saw some rabbit scat on the side of the trail.
Nice.
I saw some wolf fur, other wolf fur you didn't see, and at my house.
Ben, what else did you see when we went on our adventure?
Raven. I saw the river flowing.
The river's flowing. And what's next to the river?
Ice.
How thick is that ice?
Like 2 feet deep.
Yeah.
One to 2 feet maybe?
Yeah.
Could we break it with our feet?
Yeah.
No. But in the middle of the river? Or riddle of the creek? Was there ice?
No.
Just there's
still like a few, but there's still little ones floating.
Bye.
Hey, thank you, Bear Cubs. That is so adorable. Oh, man. Those kids, and thank you to their teacher who took them out and helped explain things to them and maybe showed them some things. And they did see a lot of scat, both rabbit and deer. And made note of it, which was good. That tells
even
us,
counted it? 30 piles of scat?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a nice effort on their part. And we will be looking forward to more reports from Grand Marais. It's lovely what they're doing up there. It's lovely what all of the teachers are doing with their students. It's an amazing gift that the teachers are able to give. And I think that, Charlie, you have helped make that gift possible. I have had a little bit to do with it myself, but truly it is the work of the teachers and their enthusiasm for nature that gets the kids outside and gets them looking. And once you get that started, man, it's a hard habit to break. Once you know about it, you can't really go outside and ignore it. It's going to hit you in the face.
Man, opening those audio files every week, you just never know what you're going to hear. And it makes me so happy. Yeah. It's always great.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're looking for your pledge of support. People Powered Radio. It's Northern Minnesota. It's KAXE. We were the first rural public radio station in the nation. Still going strong, almost 50 years on the air. But we do it with people like you. We're not part of Minnesota Public Radio. We need your support now. 218-326-1234. Lots of folks becoming new members or adding to their sustaining memberships this morning. Go online to kaxe.org. Now, Charlie, let's talk a little bit about when you started. I don't know if I should have told you this, but how many schools, and how have you gotten more schools to get involved in this, and John as well?
I'm not sure the number of schools when I started. I think it was around 10 that were regularly sending in reports. Right now we have 35 schools, environmental organizations, some summer camps sending in reports, which is just amazing. And that's thanks to a grant from the Environmental Resources and Natural Trust Fund, which has allowed us to do some workshops across the state. And John, most of all, and occasionally I also meet with schools and different organizations just one-on-one to get them onboarded and identify some trees and plants and kind of give them an idea of where to go and what to look for. And of course, meet with the students. And that's been such a gift for us that we get to hear all of these students. And I think we hear from the students all the time and their parents how influential the program can be. It's certainly different from a lot of what else they're doing in their schools. So,
absolutely. I had a long conversation with a principal at one of the schools that I visit regularly. And he said, and this is something that the teachers will reinforce, the children are just calmer and more attentive in their classrooms after they've been outside for a walk. And the kids know, they know because they've been reminded frequently that this is not recess, this is science, and that they need to be focused and paying attention. And they do because they enjoy going out. And of course, there's always the threat. Hey, if you can't behave, you don't have to go. We can take the rest of the class and you can stay here. And that one carries a bit of weight when it's a walk outside. There's not too many kids that are willing to pass up on that opportunity because there's always something exciting to be found outdoors. And I guess with that picture in our heads, that's kind of how we roll, how we do it on Tuesday mornings. And I know that many of you tune in to hear the voices of maybe your kids, maybe your grandkids, maybe you're just tuning in because you like to hear children's voices talking about the things that they're observing. And these are things that maybe you're seeing as well, but just don't take the time to kind of catalog them, which is what a phenologist does. There are lots of naturalists out there and few phenologists, and the difference is the phenologists write it down.
We do have the little booklets we can give you as your thank you gift. You'll see that on the donation page, kaxe.org. And you know, they're not by year. You're noticing the date by year in the book. It's not like a book for 2025.
Right.
And you keep adding and adding to this. And I can't help but, it was a while ago now, but, in celebrating 40 years of phenology, Charlie, how do we even talk about the kids who grew up listening to phenology and what they're doing in the world now? Not kids anymore.
We talk about it with, extreme envy, if you're asking me.
Yes.
But yes, so many of these, not students anymore. So many of these people have grown up listening to John and, or, you know, contributing to their phenology reports and have gone on to careers in environmental sciences and natural resources. And that is, I mean, we heard from a lot of those students, well, people now, during the John's 40th anniversary, how influential John has been. And I think that's something that I have a little bit of a different perspective on, growing up in a place where John Latimer wasn't everywhere. And, like, you know, I would never have recognized John Latimer's voice, where people up north tend to notice John Latimer's voice if they hear him at the grocery store. And I had this delightful experience when I started listening of a similar reaction to John that other people have to me, which is, wait, what are you doing? And why? And huh? Where just this incredible passion for being outside. And, like, who else would go and, like, investigate a speckled alder catkin and flick it to see if the pollen is coming out and have, you know, a spotting scope trained from your bedroom to the bald eagle's bedroom to see when the chicks are, you know, hatching and so on. And what a delightful human to have in all of our lives. And also what an inspiration. 'Cause all of that is, John has created such an incredible data set where you can see in real time, in this little microscope of one spot in the U.S., one guy decided to write things down, and now we have this amazing track record of climate change. And that's all thanks to John doing what he's passionate about.
And we we have to talk about him because he won't talk about himself here. But he has influenced so many people over the years. He's been a companion as you tune in on Tuesday mornings. I'm talking about him like he's not here. 218-326-1234. That's the number to call. It is the membership drive. We've got Charlie Mitchell joining us, our phenology coordinator. You can also pledge online at kexc.org. We heard from Liz at the Tamarack Amusement Center. Liz says the Friends of the Rice Lake Wildlife Refuge stopped counting at 190 bald eagles on the lake yesterday.
Wow.
There were more.
Oh, my goodness.
How cool is that?
I had a moment when I had 23 bald eagles on my lake, and they were all sitting on the rotting ice. The lake had frozen completely, or had frozen to the point where there was no oxygen and the fish that lived in the lake died. And so they were having a sort of a free for all, like open market.
Mm-hmm.
And they were definitely enjoying their free food.
Yeah,
easily obtained. And that, I can only assume, was what was going down on Rice Lake. Speaking of Rice Lake, we're going to be down there on May 3rd. May 3rd, which is a Saturday. And we will be doing a birding and phenology hike and going to be a kind of an all-day sort of a thing. Pack a lunch if you like, or there are plenty of places nearby where you can grab a lunch and come and visit with us on May 3rd. Set it up in your calendar and come have some fun with some really, really experienced birders, which I am not. And then, you know, I'll try to squeeze a word in edgewise about some of the plants that we're running into there. So,
well, lucky for us, we've got a birder joining us at about 8:40 this morning. Pam Perry will be back talking about waterfowl migration and tundra swans versus trumpeter swans and other expected bird arrivals. Stay tuned for that. We'll also be talking with Tornado Bob, big weather picture. Call us now if Tuesday mornings get you going, keep you energized, make you feel connected to something real like nature. Pledge now, 218-326-1234. Charlie, thanks for your time today. We're looking forward to this week's Season Watch.
Thank you. Great to see you.
See you.
Great to see you. Thanks, Charlie.